This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Football League. You've done it again. I come in here all prepared to talk about a very fun night last night in the local basketball scene. But, of course, today is the trade deadline in the NFL. And I knew there was going to be moves. I knew there were going to be significant trades, but maybe not this significant. And what it might mean for the Broncos now, with some of the names that were being mentioned in connection with the Denver Broncos. I got a couple of trade updates here. You heard it. Colin did a great job on Coach Speak. Great work from him. He's been interning with us for a while. Got a chance to fill in for Bruce. Excellent work. So he mentioned some of the trades. But this one's interesting. Seahawks adding Saints wide receiver Rashid Shaheed from the Saints. That's interesting because that name was mixed in with the Broncos, along with Jaylen Waddle, whose name was mixed in with both the Seahawks and the Broncos. And now we're starting to hear rumors that the Broncos are somewhat interested. But again, they're making calls. They all make calls. Jordan Schultz posted about an hour ago. NFL Insider hosts the Schultz Report. He posted the we'll see if any deals get done, but the two teams I'm watching today for a potential holy crap trade are the Seahawks and the Broncos. And maybe the Seahawks have already done that with Shaheed, and the Broncos would be next. What would that take? Probably a first or second round pick. The Colts made a big move. We're in window talk here. The Colts are trading two first round picks for cornerback Sauce Gardner, New York Jets star cornerback Sauce Gardner. So the Colts are saying, hey, we're going all in. We've had a really good season. We are, you know, we didn't like last week, but we're feeling really good about our situation. So we're going all in. We're pushing the chips into the middle. Do the Broncos feel that they need to make that kind of a move? Or are they happy with a lot of young receivers? Nobody has really taken that big step of being a consistent receiver for Denver. That will be, I'm very curious to see what happens there. You saw the Jaguars trade for Jacoby Myers, former Las Vegas Raider. Interesting timing. Raiders, well, had to, right? If they were going to make a move, it had to be now. But the Broncos take on the Raiders. And that's, I mean, kind of significant news because I saw this from Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, that both Brandon Jones and Riley Moss did not practice. Nobody's practicing today. They're off today. They play Thursday. But they were listed, at least, as a did not participate because of, and Brandon Jones listed as a foot situation, and Riley Moss, ankle. That would be scary news ahead of the Raiders game on Thursday. But then you take out Jacoby Myers, who I believe was the second or third leading receiver. Brock Bowers is going to be a problem. That will be the thing to look out for in this Raiders-Broncos game. So you got moves. Will the Broncos be a part of that? We'll find out. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, I'm going to talk to a guy who just got his first win as a Division I head college basketball coach, and that's Ali Farokhmanesh. Awesome guy. Really one of those guys that's easy to root for. And the Rams win big last night over Incarnate Word, 98-64. So many pieces here that I want to get to. Some players I'm excited about. Brandon Recksteiner, that's the guy, and Kyle Jorgensen. Kyle's my guy. I like Kyle a lot personally. He looks different. He looks trim. He looks fit. He had 15 points last night for the Rams and 9 rebounds, 4 assists. They used to call him Baby Joker. Well, those are Baby Joker type stats in a college basketball game. The UNC Bears won big last night over Colorado College. That was, both the Bears and the Rams kind of in a similar situation. They get blowouts, so they get to play a lot of dudes. I don't know if either of those games is going to tell us a lot about what the normal rotation is going to look like, but that was cool. The Buffs won. The Cowboys won. And the Nuggets won. Mike, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good is that. Hoops night for the teams that we follow closely. Basketball tends to tighten up for me because it's a lot. So we, you know, I'll peek over at what Wyoming's doing. Probably not going to pay too much attention to what Air Force is doing. Air Force did lose last night. But the Nuggets won against the Kings. And it was just a night. It was just an interesting night. Russell Westbrook was back in town. Had some interesting things to say about his time with Denver. We'll get to that later. Nick Clifford had some nice minutes against the Nuggets last night, too. Made his return to Colorado. He's a Colorado dude. And, man, I really enjoyed following that guy's career. Fairly short career with the Rams, but that's the one. I think he's going to make it in this league. I think he's going to be a very important player for the Kings for the next few years. The bad for me, I'm watching the Nuggets game. I'm trying to do the trifecta of screens, Mike, and I don't like doing that. I regret it every time, and I tried it. But I did it, and I'm watching altitude, and it just kept... I about had a seizure, man. It was just flickering off and on, off and on, off and on. I thought it was me. Tried all my different pieces of technology, and it was doing it on every outlet. So I did tweet out last night, is this happening to anyone else? And apparently it was an issue. And then they fixed it. So I think I did that. You're welcome, everybody. By mentioning it, the powers that be got after it. The ugly, and I'm not sure if it's ugly, but the Nuggets gave a very small tribute to Dario Saric, and then a video tribute to Russell Westbrook. So my question today, poll question of the day, is brought to you by Michael's X account. Are you guys good with a tribute for a player that played one season for the Nuggets and you didn't win a championship? Now, if you won a championship, that's a different story, but you didn't win a championship. There it is. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Coming up next, Ali Farokhmanesh, head coach for Colorado State. They win big last night. Let's talk to him about it. It's really cool seeing him as the guy, as the man. They win 98-64. Let's talk about how it went down. Coming up next.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka. Kick it!
The Rams were kicking it last night, 98-64 over Incarnate Word. And this was a significant game, first official game as head coach of the Colorado State Rams, Ali Farokhmanesh. He's joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline. Coach, we're friends, so I can say this. Why not 100? Okay, 98, that's great, but why triple digits, man? Come on.
Man, I tried for it, but it was Coach DeWeese's fault. Actually, he had to pull the ball out at the end. Otherwise, we would have gone for it.
I was really hoping for it. But no, this was awesome. A bunch of things stood out to me in this game. But first off, Coach, congratulations to you. So happy to see this, and a great way to start the season.
No, it was awesome. I mean, I was really proud of the guys' effort and attention to detail and the scouting, and staff put together a great scout of honestly offensive and defense with how we wanted to attack them, and the guys executed. Like they executed really well, and it was awesome to see them play. Not you played well, but like to play the way that we wanted to play, sharing the ball, moving, cutting the spacing, and then defensively, I thought we were really active and and physical, and to win the rebounding battle by that much and that big of a margin was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you guys just killed it in so many different categories, but you mentioned it with the assist numbers too, just the way the ball was moving around. You wonder about that when you have so many new guys, just how cohesive it's all going to look in game one, and at least based on that game one performance, I mean, these guys look like they've been playing together for a while.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, like it's one game, but yeah, it's exactly what we wanted to see out of it. I just ran into Pascarelli.
Tell him hello.
Yeah, but no, it was fun to see them move the ball, share it, and then also cut to space, because it's one thing to say like, hey, like let's share the ball, but if we're not moving and cutting to get open for one another either, it makes it hard. So it was twofold for a lot of reasons of why we had success with it, but that's kind of the method of the madness. Like in the summers, I don't really talk about shot selection at all to them. Kind of let them play. And then we slowly start talking about it more and more. Cause I want them to get comfortable first, but then they start realizing that like, okay, if I share the ball and move it and cut in space, like I'll also be more successful and more efficient at the same time. And then I can point to the numbers of Nick Clifford, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, John Tanji, like Jalen Lake on down the line. And their efficiency numbers are why they're continuing to play at higher levels.
Coach, this is just the first thing that sticks out to me. I mean, there's so many individual pieces to this game that we can get into, but man, you guys are deep. A game like that, too, you really get to exercise that. You get to play a lot of guys, but it just seems like there's a lot of dudes on this team that are going to be making plays all season.
No, it's the beauty of the group. Like, there's so much versatility, and that we don't really have guys that all do similar things. They all do different things at different levels, and I think that's what's interesting with the group. They're going to have to – the problem with it is that there's going to be some nights that some guys are going to get more minutes than other nights, and we've told them that. Like, it's just whatever the game requires from us as a team, it's going to change night to night, and can we really truly buy into that and sacrifice for each other? And it sounds great when you win, but – what's it like when you actually have to do it in the middle of a game when you don't get the minutes that you might deserve even?
Talk to me about Kyle Jorgensen, Coach. I know you made a point to shout him out last night in your post game. First thing I noticed, too, the look. I think I said this the first time we had him on. I'd be curious to see like a before and after picture. Several years in college basketball, what he looks like from his first day. He looks sharper, on the floor. But he looks like he's in great shape, too. I mean, there's just been a little bit of a transformation for KJ over the last year.
No, absolutely. I think that's the biggest change I'm glad you saw it too, but that's the biggest change for him, for Rashawn. We've had a lot of guys that changed their bodies. I think this was the best summer that we've had since I've been here in terms of guys changing their bodies and not only getting stronger, but losing some of the fat and losing some of their body mass and changing what their body mass looks like. And I thought it showed up tonight, and it's showing up not just from a physicality standpoint, but also from a conditioning standpoint. I mean, besides your son's ankle, prior to that, man, he could play longer stretches than he's ever played here. And so, like, I know we've been doing the right stuff, and that's a huge credit to Madison Corona, our athletic trainer, and Jason Phillips, JP. Like, they've done a tremendous job of getting these guys right and putting them in a position to be successful on the court.
Yeah, well, and that's what was just so eye-opening to me was, you know, with Kyle, obviously he was with you guys last year, but with the rest of the starting group, all new faces, all guys coming in from transfers all over the place. Jevon Muniz was outstanding to start the game. Brandon Recksteiner, I love that name. The dude's got biceps for a point guard. He could beat up a lot of people, I'm sure. He's very serious. Kerry Booth, I thought he looked good too. Josh Pascarelli, which you mentioned. I mean, all these guys just jumped right in as if, like I said earlier, they've been with you for a while.
Yeah, and that's what's fun to see, is like they haven't been together for a while. Like they've only been together for 6 months. So for them to be as connected as they are right now, it is impressive. And I think the biggest thing that I've seen from them too is we've dealt with some adversity already early this season with guys being injured or being hurt going into games and whatnot. And they've dealt with it at a high level. And so we got to continue to build that. It's great that we're connected right now, but we got to build that connection even deeper as we go through this, as we go through this season, because there's going to be more trials and tribulations and ups and downs. And how connected can we stay when we do get punched in the face multiple times?
And coach, on that note, Rashawn Memba, what can you tell us about him at this point? You feel for the guy. He's battled these nagging injuries for a good chunk of his career so far.
Yeah, it stinks. Like, I think that was the biggest thing that I hurt for him with, is that he put himself in such a good position to have an amazing season. He still can't. Like, he's going to miss a couple games maybe. But for him to literally get to the finish line, I mean, it was the day before the prep period. So it was literally the Thursday, day off Friday, then prep period. It was that Thursday he got hurt. And so you feel for him in the sense of how much he's done to get to this point, to change his body, to put himself in the best position to be successful. Like, yeah, there's no other word besides that. It sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it does. And it's okay to say that too. But he'll be back. And I think that's one thing I told him, is you did all this work to get here. Well, just go have that same approach attacking your rehab, and you'll be back faster than whatever the doctors or trainers tell you too.
Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, head coach of the Colorado State Rams, Ali Farokhmanesh. They win big last night, 98-64. How about for you, coach, just personally, going through all these motions? Now, again, you had exhibition games and things like that, but this was the real deal. This counts. Nerves? What was it like for you, man, in this moment?
No, not nerves. I think I was probably more nervous going into Creighton. And then I think that was the best thing that we did, was play that game, because got to go on the road versus a ranked team that just beat another top 15 team by nearly 20 plus a week before that. So there's a little more nerves and anxiousness going into that one, I think, than just this game. It almost felt more normal, because I've been walking out of that tunnel in a different position, though, for the last 8 years.
Well, and yeah, being around your fans that have followed you for a very long time, too, in front of a lot of people that just love following Colorado State basketball at Moby Arena.
No, it was funny. Like, I was joking around with my friends after the game, and I was like, yeah, that guy that's at courtside, like, our sons play flag football together. And then you look up in the stands next to those other people, and like, oh, I've been going to – we've gone to dinner with them as a family. Like, I see them every Sunday at church. Like, it feels like it's that high school feel in some ways of like, man, like, you build a community. It's weird to say that in a college environment, but when you've been here for 8 years and you got four kids, like, man, you're really entrenched in the community. So there was a ton of people there that, man, I've known from different aspects outside of Colorado State, even, that they're there supporting us.
This is going to be a weird question, coach. Is there anybody out there, anybody in the area that doesn't have a good thing to say about Ali Farokhmanesh? Because this just seemed like the biggest slam dunk hire ever. And anybody you talk to is like, no, zero doubt. I mean, coaching is a fun thing to talk about, good, bad, ugly, whatever. But you've been one of the easiest guys to talk about because everybody agrees.
Yeah, maybe Sundance Wicks might, but it's easy when you live in a community that is the way it is, in terms of not just Fort Collins, but the Northern Colorado region and the state of Colorado too. It makes it pretty easy to be a part of it, especially when you move here originally 8 years ago, and now it feels like it really is home.
Was there a sense of, I mean, you, confidence just oozes out of you, you know, when you're watching your postgame stuff, seeing you on the sidelines last night? Was there a sense of relief? You know, again, you guys are winning big, so you're probably like at some point fairly early, all right, we're probably going to win this game. But was there a sense of relief to get done with this one and just see that 1-0 next to the, you know, the win-loss column?
Maybe a little bit. No. Like, I told the guys in the huddle, like, don't play the scoreboard. Like, this is probably going to sound wrong, but whatever. Like, I didn't come here to beat Incarnate Word. Like, I came here to see what the highest level that we can reach is, and I don't know what that is yet, but we're not playing a scoreboard. Like, we're playing to play our best, and that's the full 40 minutes, and, like, that's our challenge for every single guy on our roster, and I think that's what the depth helps us with at times, is because we have so many guys to play that, like, every time you're on the court, I don't care what the score is, it's a dress rehearsal to prove to me that, like, you deserve more minutes or I can trust you in these certain environments.
Well, and that's the, you know, a good problem to have with you guys being so deep. I think we talked about this at your golf event a few weeks ago. That's a good problem to have, but at the same time, I would imagine, you know, there's this constant communication with everybody on the roster, even the starting unit. That might look different as we progress through the season.
No, absolutely. It's ever changing. I mean, it changed literally in 72 hours when Rashawn sprained his ankle. So
yeah.
It's the one thing I can guarantee is there's always change coming. So we're ready for it, though, and we'll handle it as it comes to us. It's the only worry about the things that you can control. Like I can't control whether Rashawn lands on somebody's ankle and he's out for a certain amount of time, but we can control the other things and how we approach it.
Coach, coming up, Omaha, November 9th on Sunday, 4 o'clock. Looking forward to that one. And, man, we wish you the best of luck for that game coming up. And, again, congratulations on getting that first one under your belt.
No, absolutely. I appreciate it, Bray. We're trying to get as many of these weekend games going in Moby, too. So it's a 4 o'clock Sunday game. So it would be awesome for these guys to walk in and see what a true Moby Madness sellout looks like.
Yeah, I can't wait. Looking forward to it, my friend. And we'll try to catch up with you down the road.
Awesome. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Ali Farokhmanesh, head coach of the Colorado State Rams. There's a lot I could have went into, because when you win 98-64, there's just a bunch of things that stick out to you. Kerry Booth is a fun story because, you know, he obviously was at some big schools. He's the son of Calvin Booth, former general manager for the Nuggets. Yes, I wondered, any Rams fans listening right now, were you at the game? Was Calvin Booth at the game? Can't imagine he's out of Colorado just yet, but maybe he is. It's been already several months, but watching him play, I thought he was pretty good. He had 11 points in 19 minutes, 6 rebounds and an assist. Josh Pascarelli looks good. Jevon Muniz, he got off to a quick start for the Rams. The other guy that sticks out, Brandon Recksteiner. Dude, watch the guy. He's got a bite, man. He's got a toughness about him. The last name kind of says it all. That's a good dude to have on your side. JoJo McIver did register some minutes. We talked about him yesterday, the freshman. He had 10 minutes, 5 boards for him, 1 point. But JoJo McIver's one to just keep watching out for. I think his minutes will probably fluctuate throughout the course of the season, and maybe next year is when it's going to be consistent. But it's a very deep basketball team, and that was kind of the sense that I got, you know, just reading up on this team, Kevin Lytle writing about this team, our discussions with Coach in the, you know, the past couple of months. But now we got a chance to get to know him a little bit in a real game environment, and we'll do this for buy or sell a little bit later, but, you know, again, I'm not going to ask you when they're at 23 wins if you think they're going dancing. I'm asking today, based on what you saw against the team that they were supposed to beat, they were fairly heavy favorites, but they beat them even bigger than that. Again, 98-64. Is this a team that, I mean, wouldn't that be freaking nuts? Could they go dancing again in Ali Farokhmanesh's first year? That would be fascinating. And again, people are like, oh, Brady, it's one game. Well, we don't ask at the end of the season to give predictions. We ask now, based on that performance, does it kind of feel like maybe they could go back to the NCAA tournament?
But Brady, it's just one game.
Well, how about we come back in 5 months then, when it's March, and I'll ask the question. Once they're mathematically in or mathematically out, I'll ask the question and see what we get there. I do have a poll question today brought to you by Michael's X account. Please fire it back up. Are we good with the Nuggets putting up a video tribute for Russell Westbrook last night? The options are yes, and the other option is the dude was here 1 year. Now, if they won a championship, yes. Every player that moves on and then comes back to your arena, you want. I mean, Bruce Brown wasn't with the Nuggets for, what was he there for, 2 years? And they did a video tribute for him, and I'm good with that. It's nothing against Russell Westbrook. I've always been a Russell Westbrook fan. I still kind of am. Changed a little bit last year. It was just strange. But Russell Westbrook, Mike, I don't know if you have it. He was asked about leaving Denver and if he really gave it real consideration as to whether he would stay in Denver or not. And I don't know if you I don't know if you have it, but I want to play it at some point. Here's what Russell Westbrook said about that potential thought process of him sticking with Denver.
When you contributed to a playoff series win to a game seven, how do you kind of look at your year here?
That was great.
Yeah.
I guess other people didn't.
Was it them who did not? I do think there was a reporter, a speculation that they had sort of...
The speculation, the truth is that they didn't want me back. It ended up to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, John. God always has a plan. Be patient. Not up to me. They don't want me. That's okay.
Did anyone else?
Somebody else do.
It is a player option. Would you have considered picking that up even if they didn't necessarily want you?
Oh, they told me not to.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't go anywhere I'm not wanted.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
Okay. Kind of wondered, but he said, hey, they told me not to pick up my player option. And listen, I was lukewarm on it. If he would have picked up the player option and he's still a Nugget, probably would have been okay. I am okay with him not being a Nugget. Clearly, it took him a while to get on a team. He was good last night, though. 26 points. I like the way he plays basketball. I mean, he's frustrating at times. He turns it over. He pushes a little too hard in certain situations, but I like the fact that he's always working hard. We're in a world today where people like to complain about NBA players and not going at it, not going hard defensively all the time. That is not Russell Westbrook. So you're not going to get a lot of negatives from me on Russ. There were weird plays, and he's an interesting guy, but nothing bad in that time. I just don't know if I'm rolling out a video tribute for a guy that was part of the Nuggets going to the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, Mike, what does that mean?
Lonnie's on the line.
Oh, Lonster. Okay, I thought you were asking if they won or lost last night. The Nuggets won. Lonster's on the First Advantage Hotline. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, man?
You know, it's going pretty good. It was a nice night of basketball last night.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that was a great night. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better night than that. Basketball and then the laughing joke at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I didn't even give that. It was on when I walked out of when I was getting done with outside stuff, and it was on, and I changed it over to the Nuggets, and then I got my screens mm-hmm. up, and I'm watching all these other games. I honestly did not give Monday Night Football much of my eyeballs last night.
Well, I was kind of listening. I was just listening to see how funny it was to see the Cowboys get beat.
Is there a part of you though that's like you want the Cowboys to win because it would make the Broncos win over them look a little bit better?
No, I just want to see the Cowboys lose no matter what.
Any basketball stuff on your mind? I mean, I don't know if you caught that LA for Oakland thing.
Oh, that was fun. Listen to that CSU game last night.
Yeah, that was good.
That was, I think, you know what? I'm going to give CSU a good chance to do it.
You're going to go dancing again?
Yes.
Would that be 4 out of the last 5 years? That would be phenomenal.
Oh, it would. No, if this team keeps playing the way they are, I think they're going to do it.
Watch out for Kyle Jorgensen, man. That's a dude right there.
You know, the other one is that Rex Diner or whatever. Yeah,
Brandon Rechsteiner.
Brandon Rechsteiner.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's good. Kind of jacked.
That sounds like a new restaurant or something.
Sounds like a wrestler or something, you know? Like a WWE wrestler. Rechsteiner.
Really, you know? Yeah, Rechsteiner. Come to Rex Diner's afterwards. You know?
Lobster, what's for lunch today, man?
You know what? I haven't decided what I'm having for lunch yet.
Well, okay, give me some options. Give me some ideas.
You know what?
Good.
I think here we go. I'm going to have me some chicken tenders and some wheat thins. And I'm going to finish up the rest of the cherry tomatoes.
You got to be running out of those things pretty soon, man.
Well, you know what? I'll be going to the grocery store tomorrow.
All right. Well, good luck to you, my friend. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening.
Hey, you guys have a good day.
All right, man. You too. Yeah, fun night. Fun night of basketball. Nuggets win 130-124. Over the Kings. There was a pass that Joker made that looked like it went right over Sabonis's head. Like it grazed his hair, went right over his head to Aaron Gordon. Gordon jumped up, dunked it. Sabonis runs back, looks at Joker, and he's like, what the blank? Like kind of jokingly, but I mean, if that was an inch away from just popping him in his head. It was like a Varsity Blues when the quarterback, Mox, threw the football at his dad's face instead of throwing the can off of his head. But it turns out, based on his throw at the mascot, he was aiming at his dad's face the whole time. Little movie nugget there for you that not a lot of people caught in that extremely smart sports movie that is Varsity Blues. Yes, Michael.
Never seen that movie.
That's your loss. That was a hell of a movie. Quarterback competition, bad coach. Just
wasn't that John Voight?
John Voight was the coach.
John Voight usually plays a bad guy.
He was a bad guy in this one.
Unless he's a Roosevelt.
And Dawson's Creek was Johnny Moxon, I think. Wasn't Moxon the other guy? I can't remember the other dude. That was Paul Walker, but great movie. 39 minutes after the hour. Dixon, yeah. Whipped cream bikini. I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't remember that scene. Doesn't stick out.
That was not another teen movie.
It was not another teen movie that spoofed Varsity Blues. That was from Varsity Blues.
Oh, was it really?
That's the original. Ali Latar? Is that how you say her name? No? She was in Heroes? I'm trying to find nerd connection for you. Heroes? Did you ever see Heroes?
I never saw Heroes.
Dang it. That was a great movie, though. Yeah, Nugs win big. No, not big. It felt like they were in control the entire game, but Kings tried to make it somewhat interesting. But how about Nick Clifford? Back in Colorado, he played 19 minutes last night, had 8 points, 3 assists, and a rebound. So nice numbers for a rookie. Really nice numbers for him. So well done, Neat Clifford. Fun chat with Ali Farouk Manesh. If you guys missed it, you can find our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com. 40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
All right, fast-moving first hour. It is Top Text Tuesday, presented by Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Best text of the day gets a $20 gift certificate for Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Excellent store for the collector. If you're a collector listening, if you've got people in your life that are collectors and you're putting together that Christmas shopping list, then think about Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Dixon might be leading with them. You know, the random varsity. Going with me anytime I talk about Varsity Blues is going to give you a quick jump up there to win Top Text Tuesday. Talking about the whipped cream bikini and Varsity Blues. And apparently Dixon said she's also the mom in Landman. Landman. What is that? I'm not sure what that is, but thank you for that, Dixon.
It is a drama series. Drama. That has recently come out starring Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Wow. Okay. What's it about?
I think it's about oil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe someday. I'm always looking for good stuff to watch when sports dies down. So I'll ask again. Okay, so the Boise State Broncos lose to Hawaii Pacific last night in basketball, 79-78. And you're asking, where's Hawaii Pacific? Probably in the Pacific part of Hawaii. But it was against, it was in Boise, Idaho. They lose. You can't click the team, Mike. That's when you know it's not like a, you know, big name team. You can't click them on ESPN.
So
Boise State loses. The injury to insult here, there's a player for Hawaii Pacific. I just forgot the name. He goes down and he's cramping. He's got a player trying to stretch out his foot. He's like pushing on his foot, trying to stretch him. The Boise State trainer comes over, grabs his hand, and drags him off the floor. Just grabs him and drags him off the floor. Then she starts working on his leg. Like, heaven forbid we don't get back to this basketball game. We got a dude writhing in pain on the floor. She reaches down, grabs his hand. The guy, the teammate is still trying to stretch his calf. And she proceeds to just pull on his arm and drag him off the floor. Now, it wasn't like very far long distance. That's awful. You wait until that player is ready to move. I listen, I hate delays in sports all the time. And when guys go down, you hope they're okay, but then you're like, all right, hopefully they can get them okay on the sidelines. You don't drag them. She dragged the dude. First off, that's got to be against the codes. It's got to be against everything. Make sure the player is okay and safe before you drag him off. Plus, that's embarrassing, man.
Plus, how strong is she?
Well, she's just pulling on his arm. I mean, she pulled on him, and then another person kind of came in, grabbed the other hand. You can see an assistant coach like jump over, like, what are we doing here? Why are you pulling him off to the side? Go look up the video. I just Google Boise State player, Hawaii Pacific player dragged off floor, and you'll see it. It is not the worst thing I've ever seen. It's just really, really ridiculous, really awkward. And then to add to that, you lost. Boise State lost. I don't know. That was a weird one. Dixon says Landman is a must watch.
That's what I've heard.
Really?
I like, get advertisements for it all the time.
Is it like Yellowstone, kind of? I haven't seen that yet either. I heard it got bad, and I've already been hurt before by TV shows that start off great and then get bad. I'm not ready to be hurt again. Aaron, it's a leg cramp. Drink some pickle juice and get back out there. Well, yeah, it's a leg cramp. It's going to go away. But dragging him off the floor, that's just, like I said, it's maybe not the worst thing I've ever seen, but Goff Grammer, who covers the Mountain West like crazy, does a great job. Maybe it's Jeff Grammer. Probably Jeff. And he writes, and the college basketball play of the day is the Boise State trainer dragging a Sharks player off the court late in the game while he was cramping. Yeah, that was a weird, weird look. Boise girls, texter from Smitty. This might be a top one. Boise girls have dairy farmer strength. Yeah, that's a good point. She just kind of muscled him over to the sidelines, and then she's like, okay, now that we got that done, lay here. I will fix you. I'm sure you're confident in my bedside manner now. I'll take care of you. 11:50 the time. We'll take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day. We're going to double dip with CSU today. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com going to join me. All right, I'm not probably going to talk football. I'm probably going to talk about basketball. I'm going to get Mike's thoughts on this new-look roster for the Colorado State Rams. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
November, a time for thanks. We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado. Thanks for listening to Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Another strong candidate for Top Text Tuesday. Thanks to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Eastside Chris, because of the history of this texter, Eastside Chris, I think, started first listening to the show when we were talking about Northern New Mexico playing UNC and Northern New Mexico's kind of story. They pretty much just travel all over the place. Their AD is their head coach. Eastside Chris, Northern New Mexico guy would have crawled to the sideline. No help. Yeah, probably. Listen, the Boise State thing, it's not like she's a villain. She's just a little rough. Just a little rough, Mike.
Don't want to, if you're dating her, you don't want to get her angry.
I remember when my wife, when we had our kiddo in the hospital, the nurse that came to help us, she was like a former military nurse, and she was really nice. She was a little rough. I remember she was trying to open a cabinet door to get something out. She couldn't get it open. She just kept wrenching on. She pulled the whole thing down. Like the whole thing just came down in the hospital room. And she's wheeling my wife, you know, down the hall. I guess I could have done it, but she did it. And she had a hard time like keeping it straight. That kind of reminds me of this Boise State trainer. Just a little rough. A little rough. Maybe don't work on me. I'm gonna sit here for a second. Just think.
Yeah.
Give me a banana.
From what you described, I thought she was like Hulk smashing the guy.
No, she dragged him off, though. It was weird.
It wasn't as bad.
She could have asked him like, "Hey, do you want me to pull you onto the side?" She could have. That could have happened.
She's just like, I'm just going to yank you to the side.
I'm just pulling you to the side. We got a game to play. You know, we don't have time for cramps or injuries.
Well, they had plenty of time.
Plenty of time. Yeah, Boise State lost to a no-logo team when you go to ESPN. Trade deadline. Are the Broncos moving? Or are they going to sit still? We got top stories of the day. We got Mike Brohard. I'm going to go through the playoff list, the playoff standings, Michael. And I'm going to look at everybody ahead of the Broncos schedule and everybody that's close. Can the Broncos really do it? Take the number one seed. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.